All right, here's a little bit of science for you, but I'm going to try and make it as easy as possible. It occurred to me a few lectures back when I was talking about this, I started talking about odds ratios. And finally when I was done, somebody raised their hand and they said, Paul, what the hell is an odds ratio? So I figure I'll walk you through what an odds ratio is. Because any time you see a study that is attempting to link a certain risk, an association between a certain behavior and an outcome that they are associating with that behavior, you need to be looking at two things, either relative risk or odds ratio. If neither one of those phrases are used in the study, that study or the authors of that study did not try to determine whether there was an actual link between a certain performance and a certain outcome. I run into this all the time. There was a really, really widely popularized study that came out last year that said marijuana-induced accidents have increased threefold. Study didn't say that. The authors didn't say that. There were no odds ratios in that study. We have no idea what association there was between marijuana use and car accident in that study. And the authors will tell you that. The media just did not get the memo. So an odds ratio estimates the probability that an event will occur, like say a motor vehicle crash, versus the probability that such an event will not occur. So if a variable, like say positive for THC, is not associated with said event, the odds ratio of crash involvement associated with that variable is 1. So an OR of 1 means there was no association between this variable we are looking for and a particular outcome we are expecting to see. If your OR is above 1, that indicates that there is a positive association between this behavior and this outcome. If it's under 1, that means there's a negative association. That means people that engaged in this behavior were less likely than your control group to have this particular outcome. So when you're looking at odds ratios, you're always thinking, what is this number in relation to 1? So when we look at the literature, I often hear this. I say, we just need more literature on marijuana and driving. We just don't have a whole lot of literature looking at this. That's code. That's government speak. For we have a whole bunch of literature, and that literature doesn't support our public statements and our public policy. Therefore, we need to keep having more literature until we finally get a study that tells us what we want. Because right now, we have a whole bunch of studies looking at positive drivers who test positive for marijuana and accident risk. And what we find is the odds ratios consistently are very close to 1. So this is a meta-analysis that was published by Rune Elvik in the journal Accident Analysis and Prevention a couple of years ago. They looked at 66 studies associating drug use and motor vehicle accidents. They didn't just look at cannabis, but I highlight cannabis because it had some of the lowest odds ratios. Cannabis and drivers who tested positive for THC and fatal injury had an odds ratio of 1.26. Drivers who tested positive for cannabis and had an accident that didn't result in fatal injury, they had an odds ratio of 1.10. Neither of these reached statistical significance. What that means is there was such a range of ORs, including ORs below 1, that the authors couldn't give any statistical power to these numbers. So what that means is, yes, the numbers were up over 1, but they couldn't say definitively that there was anything statistically significant associated with these numbers. Now, the only other drugs that were identified in the study that had odds ratios this low were analgesics, your antihistamines, penicillin, and in fact, your anti-asthmatic drugs had an OR that was higher than what we saw associated with cannabis. Now, we saw a whole series of other drugs that had odds ratios that were much higher. Amphetamines had odds ratios over 6. This means that a driver who tested positive for amphetamines had a 6-fold increase in risk of accident compared to someone who tested negative. 6-fold means they were 600 times more likely to have an accident compared to somebody who tested negative for drugs. Cocaine had about a 2.5 odds ratio. Opiates was around 3. Your sleep aids, like Ambien, had an odds ratio of about 2.5, which I find actually surprisingly low, having taken Ambien a couple times. I couldn't find the car keys, much less even begin to try and navigate driving. But again, point being is we see a number of drugs with much higher odds ratios, and nobody is talking about setting per se limits for these substances. And here's just a blow up from that particular study. Again, if people want the study, just contact me. I have most of these studies available as PDFs. Now here's the study from NHTSA that came out in February 2015 that I really want to highlight. Again, you guys paid for this study. You should be aware of it. NHTSA, about 8 or 9 years ago, decided to do what would they consider to be the gold standard study to determine whether there were any links between drug use and elevated risk of accident. They were going to use a prospective Grand Rapids model method. The Grand Rapids model is the method that was used a long time ago in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to determine blood alcohol concentrations for eventual per se laws. It is considered to be the ideal way one determines whether there's an association between drug use and accident. And NHTSA had never performed a study using that model for drugs other than alcohol until now. It took them about 5 years to do this study, which was largely done at Virginia Beach. It involves 9,000 subjects, 3,000 cases, and 6,000 controls. So they had two controls for every case. This is the largest such study that's ever been done like this in the United States. What they found was that drivers who tested positive for THC had an odds ratio of motor vehicle accident of 1.25. So very low, very close to one, but 25% increase compared to drivers who tested negative. To their credit, what the researchers at NHTSA did was when they were looking at this data, they noticed there was a whole lot of overlap between THC positive drivers and male drivers and younger drivers. And they said, maybe there's more than one variable that's responsible for this elevated OR. So they said, I wonder what would happen if we control or we adjust the odds ratio for drivers' gender and their age. And when they did that, the odds ratio dropped to 1.05. It became insignificant. So essentially what they found with many drivers that have accidents and use marijuana, they're almost all exclusively younger drivers and they're men. And if you take that out of the equation, the marijuana alone becomes insignificant.
What's the risk for alcohol?
Again, the study looked at that. So they did I would recommend tracking down this study. They looked at other drugs as well, not just marijuana. The alcohol numbers were very much in contrast. What they did is they had BACs from 0.01 going all the way up to 2.0. Interestingly, drivers with BAC of 0.01 and 0.02 had ORs under 1. They were safer drivers than controls. BAC of 0.03, you started to see slightly elevated odds risk. By the time you get to 4, you see about a 0.04, you see a doubling of odds risk, and then it goes from about 4 to 6 by the time you get up to 0.08. So, obviously, again, it is a dose response relationship, but the odds ratios tend to be get very high very quickly.
With the odds ratio, what does doubling look like? Is that
2.0? Yes, a doubling is 2, odds ratio of 2, yeah.
And what is THC positive, how is that defined?
It means that they tested for THC in their blood.
So any amount whatsoever?
There's a whole number of other case control studies that are fairly recent in the literature that also find THC positive drivers coming up with ORs very close to 1, or in some cases at 1. Romano and colleagues, this was a study done looking at FARS data, crash data in the United States. They found that drug-positive drivers for all drugs other than marijuana, had elevated odds ratios, but they found the marijuana-positive drivers did not have elevated odds ratios, which they said in the most convoluted way possible. They said when the drug-positive variable was separated into marijuana and other drugs, only the latter was found to contribute significantly to crash risk. The other way of saying that is that marijuana-positive drivers did not contribute to crash risk. This is a study, Paulson and colleagues. This is an interesting study from New Zealand. This study really makes silly the 5-nanogram proposed. And there's a lot of data that makes that silly that I'll talk about shortly. How am I on time, Lauren?
You have 15 minutes.
Okay. In this particular study, they acknowledge a weak association. So overall, they found an odds ratio of 1.3. which wasn't very high with their THC-associated drivers. But they also acknowledged that drivers that tested positive at 5 nanograms or higher, they had an odds ratio of 1, so they had no statistically significant risk. That risk was made up of the drivers in the pool that had much lower levels of THC in their blood. And then I'm going to move quickly because, again, you have these materials. You can see there's a number of other studies there as well. Your outlier is the study done by Lee and colleagues at Columbia University that shows an OR of 1.83. So we're getting close to this doubling of risk that people seem to tremble on when they hear. But the reality is lots of behaviors can increase your risk of accident. Driving with more than 2 people in the car increases your risk more than 2-fold. Far more than the risk associated with marijuana. Simply being pregnant and driving a vehicle increases your odds ratio of having an accident by 42%. Again, higher than the risk we typically see associated with marijuana. If you're a tobacco smoker and you drive, not just really drive and smoke tobacco, if you simply have a history of tobacco using, you have a 50% risk of having an accident compared to people who don't use marijuana, who don't smoke. And if you text and drive, your risk of accident, according to NHTSA, goes up 23-fold. You have 2,300% more likelihood of having an accident than someone who is not texting at that time. Even alcohol's ORs don't come remotely close to this arena. And again, we are not putting people in jail for texting and driving. Maybe we should be, but as a public policy, we're certainly not. I'm going to go through this material really quickly because I want to get to some new material. Some of this is stuff you know. This is an important chart if you've never seen it before. It talks about the pharmacokinetics of THC and its cannabinoids. Pharmacokinetics refer to the what happens after cannabis is consumed. How does your body absorb it? And you see with THC, you see this initial spike, and then it's followed by a very short, quick dissipation.